floor is yours. Catherine is on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, some of you may recall we did a SSR plan last year. It actually wasn't all that long ago. The board acknowledged it in the Cartagena meeting, which was December. And in that meeting, I heard pretty widely from members of the community that the next time we do the SSR document, that it needs to be more streamlined, less repetitive, take a more clear approach on what ICANN's role is and isn't in security, stability, and resiliency involving DNS and unique identifiers. So from the outset, this document looks very different. It's presented in a PowerPoint format, although much of the underlying structure of it is still from the previous two versions of the SSR plan. So just to put it into context, that's why it looks different. This was also an effort to make it more accessible to parts of the community that are less familiar with ICANN, what it does, what the community does, and hopefully by making it more accessible, it also makes it more clear what ICANN's role is and is not in SSR. So with that preface, I'll dive right in. These slides are in a condensed version of what was posted last week. So I've tried to preserve some of the format, although the real meat of it I want to try to get to, so that hopefully that'll generate some questions and I can give you some decent answers, or at least point us in the right direction. So this is sort of our opening slide of, describes what ICANN is. You're pretty familiar with what ICANN is from working in the CCNSO. This document is split into two parts. So part A takes a close look at what ICANN's role is and the overall ecosystem itself, and then what ICANN's role is in SSR and where the different documents that provide that mandate. Part B looks at more of the activities and the projects and the work that's underway for the coming fiscal year, which for ICANN, the fiscal year 12 will begin at the conclusion of the Singapore meeting. So the fiscal year runs from July to June of 12. So we tried to provide some context. These are very basic definitions. I wouldn't say that they're contractual definitions at all, but just to put some context into what we're talking about. So for security, the capacity to protect and prevent misuse of unique identifiers, stability, the capacity to ensure that the system operates as expected and that users of the unique identifier systems have confidence that the system operates as expected, and then resiliency is the capacity of those systems to respond, react, and recover from attacks and disruptive activity. I mean, those are taken from the two previous SSR plans. Open to suggestions about those, but this is sort of basic context of what we're talking about. So as I mentioned, we've done two earlier documents. The first one was accepted by the board in the Sydney meeting in June of 2009. I have links here that show the document, the final document that was reviewed by the board, as well as the board resolution link. And then again, for the last fiscal year's plan that was posted somewhat late and accepted by the board in December. For this year, we really wanted to get it back on track with the timing of the fiscal year 12 budget and operating plan, which is why it's been posted so quickly after we did the one last year. So this gives you some overview of the timing. We're having the comment period open until the 1st of June. I'm going to conduct a variety of community briefings and encourage people to provide comments. There'll be another session in Singapore that we'll give an update on the comments that were received, how those are being taken into account, and then the document will be up for the board acknowledgement in Singapore. I can pause here for a minute if anyone has questions about the timing, the structure, and the pace that we've gone about it so far.
Patrick, it's Paul Schindler here from Outer. Not so much a question, but rather just a very general observation, a little bit of advice for what it might be worth. If for no other reason than this work encompassing about 17% of ICANN's budget, my observation would be that it is as important as anything else. As important as any other project, it has quite a lot of money riding on it, and therefore you can't have too much consultation. You can't have you can have too long a comment period, but it's important to have appropriate degree of consultation. A little bit wary, and I fully understand that you're trying to get it back on track so that it aligns with the fiscal year, but my concerns at the moment are that it's a little bit condensed now, and because we have two plans in place, or that there was a first iteration in 2009 and then one in 2010, this is a very substantial area of work for ICANN, not just an operational formality. So we're certainly scrambling and gathering our resources to try to comment in as constructive and comprehensive a way as possible. But the timeframes, I suspect you're aware that the timeframes are probably quite tight.
I understand that a month it can be tight, but also that, even though that the comment period may close on 1 June, that there's still an opportunity for that, face-to-face discussion time in Singapore, and to continue to talk about, particularly if there are areas of concern or things that you feel like need more detail, you can keep talking about it.
Yeah, Patrick, it's Simon McCallagher. I think one of the things that struck me, I think, that will help that is, and I'm sure we'll come to it later on, is where we need to really clarify a few bits and bobs in the document so that it's clear, because I think there's a danger that people might get themselves worked up into and excited about phrases that are written in the document that could otherwise be clarified that would prevent that comment period being long, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. So particularly if you have there's particular comments that you think we should edit in any way, I want to focus on those.
Cool.
So what we've tried to do with this is, take a step back, and it was described somewhat in the earlier plans, but I didn't think it was clear enough to separate out what are those things that are ICANN operational versus the areas where ICANN acts to, collaborate with the community, facilitate either policy development or protocol work or other areas, and then those where it's more of a coordinator, versus things that are happening in the ecosystem that are led by others where we're merely an observer or we're aware of those things that are happening, but it's not something that ICANN staff or even community structures are trying to drive. It's just we want to recognize that there are things that happen and we're aware of them. So those are the three areas where we tried to separate out and provide some context. I thought it was also useful to add this sort of the layers of the ecosystem. And this part of the briefing is more general. I know that you are a more knowledgeable part of the community, so I can go through this fairly quickly to get to the FY12 material, which you may have more comments on. Again, describe the participants in this ecosystem. So here we get into FY12. And with this, went through this slide already. Okay. So we're starting out with just listing the things that are ICANN operational. And you know, those include IANA functions, and we tried to put who is the organizational lead for those. And for the IANA functions, that's obviously the staff that deal with you know, root zone management requests and changes on a daily basis. And then it sort of goes down from there to look at LROOT, the DNSSEC key management. We're doing another key ceremony in Culpeper, Virginia this Wednesday. So it's part of the regular DNSSEC program. We do the key ceremony once every 3 to 4 months, rotating between Culpeper and the West Coast facility, and involves, you know, trusted community representatives and quite a few other staff. So that's a significant part of our DNS operations group. And then the next goes down to,
Patrick,
if you want me to stop. Yep,
it's a quick one, really. My first observation, and it kind of carries through the document, is it would be really, really helpful for me if wherever you refer in this document to DNS operations, that's really clear what you mean by DNS operations. Because clearly, just referencing back to that whole desert debate we had a while back, where does ICANN's DNS operational remit start and stop would be really useful clarification, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I guess putting more detail around it, that it's LROOT, that it's ICANN's, it's not the whole of the DNS, but it's more of those things, that the instances that ICANN staff operate in.
I just wonder in the document itself whether it's worth stating, you know, these are ICANN's mandated DNS operational responsibilities. They do not include the following. Kind of, just so it's really, really clear, because I felt when I read the whole document, and this just happens to come up in this very early section, I felt that was an area that might cause issues. As I say, if some people are assuming that by saying DNS operations, you're going further than you actually mean. I think I know what you mean, but I just wonder whether others might see differently.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's definitely a clarification that we can add into this. And you know, and just so you know, I really do mean those operational aspects that ICANN is running, which is LROOT,
cool.
and the other, our internal networks. And I mean, it's not the other root operators, and it's not,
No, that would be great. I think if that could be made into the document, I think that could be very helpful.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think it certainly belongs in this area and is easy enough to add.
Cool.
Okay. I think the other areas on this slide are pretty self-explanatory. There's a little bit of, it's condensed somewhat in the conversion from PowerPoint to PDF, but unless anybody has any questions about these, I want to move on to the next area. And this gets into the things that ICANN staff and community do in a more of a coordinator, facilitator, collaborator way. And we tried to list in the third column those other parties that are involved besides staff in each of these. So policy development process, that's supporting organizations, advisory committees, policy staff. And it's actually more broad than that. I mean, it's others that don't fall into those categories, but in a sense, that function is as a coordinator. Same with root zone management, with NTIA and VeriSign. And again, it goes down the line. And this is just to show these are the things that it's not staff doing alone. It's either community-led efforts or efforts that we're doing in partnership with others. And again, it's somewhat condensed. So at the top, it should be work with the root server system advisory committee on contingency. That there's been an effort to improve the at RSAC, the crisis communication exercises, and we did one, or the RSAC did one at IETF in Maastricht. That was one where we acted as a coordinator. provided some support to see that happen. Another is the symposiums that were done in Georgia Tech in 2009 and in Japan in 2010. So this is providing a way to bring the community together to talk about global SSR issues. There's a third symposium that's being planned for before the Dakar meeting in October. I'm doing it in partnership with a few other groups, and the details are coming together, but I know that DNS OARC is one that has been approached to as you know, doing this jointly with ICANN staff and with another group. So I want to, more information will be going out to the community about this, and the hope is that this event will be more open than the previous two. So further down the line, that we've included things where others in the community may be leading them, like the CCNSO efforts to have a tech day or days at ICANN meetings. I mean, if facilitators there, then we're providing facility and some staff support, but this is more of a CCNSO led effort. And then areas where we're providing some secretariat and staff support to the community working group that will look at gaps and risks to the DNS. So the DSSA working group that's starting to get underway and will have its first face-to-face meeting at the Singapore meeting. And then there's other activities where we're reaching out to the CERT community, to the Forum for Incident Security Response Teams, to the law enforcement and the security operations community. And that's, I guess I'll leave it at that. And then the next is a list of things that are we're more an observer on or aware of. In some cases, we participate a little more than just as an observer. So, for example, the Cyberstorm exercise or the ANISA exercise that they're planning, that's one where we're more of a participant. These are activities that are led by others. A little bit of truncation on the trusted identities in cyberspace is something that's happening, an initiative in the United States. It's one that we're watching, but it's not one that we're involved in. And then looking at the marketplace and the registration practices that are underway in the community. So that's registries, registrars, and others, and we're having some awareness on.
Sorry, it's Paul here again. Just a quick question before you move on. Not so much on ICANN's observer role, but you talk about SSR is obviously a significant overarching strategy for the organization, and also a department within the organization. But you've spoken about different areas, different departments taking the lead, different projects. Tech Day might even be an example. How does it? How would the SSR budget work when you have these other areas acting as the facilitator or the coordinator? Are they factored into the SSR budget, or are they above and beyond that?
So I think the next two, three slides will sort of answer that. I'm just now getting into that that part.
Patrick, one for me before you move on as well. Just again, it might be wrapped up in some of the observer role stuff, but I just wondered where ICANN's how you're keeping your ICANN's keeping its eye on the sort of black hat dark web community, the sort of thing that Team Cymru and to a certain extent New Star and folk look into that understands that sort of growing underground threat, if that makes sense, rather than the sort of overt Cyberstorm/ANISA kind of sort of work.
Yeah, so I mean, you guys know John Crane, and he's part of that trusted security community and on those lists that aren't named. So we do have staff in addition to John that are very aware and included in those types of things, and Conficker was just one part of it, but it's not as if we're not aware of those types of things. I haven't listed them here other than to say trusted security communities, but that's what I meant.
Okay, I just wonder if it might be worth making that a little bit more plain, which is that kind of we do have our eye on that dark the dark web side of things, or whatever language you want to put around that. But it's something when you read through it, you think that's great. I'm just not seeing that real future gazing in touch with stuff happening before it happens kind of approach.
Okay.
Maybe that's just me reading. I think maybe because it reads as a long list, you kind of miss that out. But it's just anyway, just a comment, right?
Yeah. So I put this in here just to provide some context. The current strategic plan that was approved in the San Francisco meeting lists these four strategic objectives, which are somewhat vague. But we try to, you know, in the next couple slides, put more detail into what some of these things. What ICANN activities are going to be around, maintain and drive DNSSF time, which is also, I think, even though it's more vague, it's a bit more realistic than last year's strategic plan or the previous strategic plan that said ensure 100% DNSSF time, and it wasn't clear on, well, is that ICANN DNS operations? Is that the whole DNS? That's partly the wording change here. Then the next, increased security of the overall systems of unique identifiers. I think we acknowledge that that's not solely ICANN's responsibility and that we would do that, that there would be a community aspect to it and also in partnership with others. And then increasing international participation in these activities and what we do. I think a lot of that comes in through the DNS capability program, so working with the regional TLD organizations, ISOC, the Network Startup Resource Center, and others to provide training and resources for TLD operators that are interested in getting that. And then coordinating DNS global risk management. This is sort of a new one. I think it fits in with the community-driven effort to look at gaps and risks to the DNS. But it's also, in San Francisco, the board approved a bylaw change for ESSAC so that it was no longer the only entity responsible for looking at a system-wide risk assessment. And now there's more work that's going to happen in this bullet. And I'm hoping that between Singapore, we'll be able to provide some more detail on this. So the next slide kind of cuts off, but this is a description of some of the community work that's underway. Pushing out DNSSEC adoption from at the TLD level to registrars and end users, and providing some tools and training to encourage that kind of adoption. There's further work. I guess this is at the policy level on internationalized who is. There's also work that some of you probably are aware of within ESSAC, and taking a fresh look at who is and focusing on more of a technical evolution of the protocol rather than some of the more policy charged use of who is as a tool. And then I list the DSSA working group here again. There's still further work on rolling out and encouraging IPv6 adoption, and also looking at IPv4 risk management. This is done with the RIRs. And again, with the RIRs, there's work at looking at resource IP address certification, or RPKI. Now I want to get into what the security team at ICANN is going to be focusing on. So we put our areas into these five general buckets. The first one being global security engagement and awareness. This is going to conferences, including IETF, RIPE meeting. There's also outreach a little bit further with FIRST and other communities that are might be somewhat new to ICANN. And providing some context as to what ICANN does in the space, maybe encouraging participation in working groups or in other activities. So that's an engagement awareness function. And the next is the security collaboration area. This includes work with others on like the Configure Working Group. There's some botnet activity. This does include the trusted security community work that, you know, Simon, you asked about. I think there's also some measurement and metrics activity, and I'll describe it in more detail, but, you know, we're contributed to RIPE NCC's Atlas project, so to push out nodes to look at the, you know, from the edges, the, you know, root system, and collect data. There are activities that we're doing in that area. And then also the capacity capability building program. And then the next two are more internal. So this is our information security practices, meeting security, physical security, the personnel security for our ICANN corporate facilities, the business continuity planning and risk management that for the organization, as well as the different areas where security team contributes to the new GTLD effort, the IDN program, DNSSEC compliance, working with global partnerships and government affairs. And so those are like the five main areas. We're a distributed team, fairly small team, but we just announced, I guess it was last week, that Jeff Moss will be ICANN's Chief Security Officer. I'm looking forward to working with Jeff and having Jeff meet the different parts of the community at the Singapore meeting, and I know he's excited to get on board too. The whole SSR plan was developed before Jeff was brought on board. There may be some evolution, not right away, but he may want to put his own stamp on things. Just the natural course of that. So this document may take some evolution for the next fiscal year, 13. That should be expected. So here's some more detail on for team activities for FY12, and then I want to turn it over to specific questions that you may have. Under global security outreach, we're planning a symposium in Europe somewhere when I made these slides, we hadn't quite settled on a date, and I think it's going to be the week before the Dakar meeting. So we're working on pushing out more detail on that, and then participating in events with regional partners. Under collaboration, we're contributing to the RIPE NCC program. There's also work with NTIA and VeriSign to, finish this root zone automation project, which I know for the CC community has gone on for years and needs to get done. We're doing a root zone management partners contingency exercise this Friday, and we'll hopefully be able to have some quickly after that some information that captures an after action report on how that went. So I can move on to the next one. The DSSA working group, it's just now getting underway. Hopefully we're not pushing them in any way, but I would expect they'll have some kind of findings in FY12, and we're supporting that, as well as supporting the, other parts of ICANN staff that are working on technical evolution of who is, the policy development, and the DNSSEC aspects. And if you guys have any questions on these slides, I can stop here.
Patrick, are we still on slide 19? Have you moved?
I moved on to 22. So
I think my browser's frozen. Yeah, it's frozen on my browser, yeah.
So let me try to move it again. Apologies for that. So you didn't see that? You didn't see the slide?
Yeah, I'm seeing 20 at the moment.
Okay. So I described these and you didn't see them.
Okay, cool. No problems. I've seen the presentation already anyway, so that's fine.
Okay. This is intended to do a little bit more deep dive on, what the team is going to be focusing on. So it's, encouraging and providing resources for our IT staff and internal you know, security, network security staff to look at, to get SANS training, to get other kinds of training, doing a, contingency exercise to roll over services from Marina Del Rey to Virginia, and also to continue to do risk assessments for ICANN meeting locations and provide traveler security resources. So if you want me to provide clarification on some of these things, there's quite a bit of work that is maybe unseen, but where security team staff are contributing to cross-departmental efforts. So, you know, I wear multiple hats, but in addition to security, I'm also part of the IDN team, and I'm sort of the contact point for the DNS stability panel that is involved in string evaluation. So we have that, and there's also the variant case studies that are getting underway in the for the six different languages and scripts. In addition to our internal enterprise risk management program, so looking at major risks, making changes to the FY12 budget before it's posted to accommodate those risks, and to repeat that on an annual basis so that it's following standard practices of organizations. So the next couple slides cover some of the community SSR work, including enhancements to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement. There's still quite a bit with Conficker and with botnets. We get requests from law enforcement and how to work with registries and registrars to complete actions against botnets. Like Microsoft has seized assets for the Roostock botnet, and they're asking a lot of questions about how to contact different registrars and registries, and so they've come to us with some of that. And then the next couple slides, I've provided a list of, so there's the affirmation of commitments. SSR review is underway. Under the affirmation, those areas of emphasis include looking at ICANN's continuity and contingency work, its effort to maintain clear processes, and the focus on emerging threats and risks. So for continuity and contingency, we've done regular exercises over the last 4 years. Those have gotten progressively larger, from just ICANN internal to working with registries, to then doing testing of actual live rollover of systems from LA to Virginia. We did an IANA continuity exercise we've published an after-action report on, and then we did an LRUT exercise in February that I should have a after-action report posted very soon. So that's the types of contingency plans and exercises, internal crisis communications, and then the capacity building program. I've got another slide that this is done in partnership with others. We've had great attendance over the last couple years. I think it's been 2 years now of doing the program. We don't take all the credit. We're working with others, but there's been quite a bit of training conducted in the last year in different places, and these events have been very well received. There's a few more that are coming up. In fact, I think we just finished last week an event in Kenya, and there's another training coming up in the Caribbean region. So for the CCNSO, you might want a lot more detail about this aspect, and that's something that I can we can certainly provide.
I think, Patrick, Simon again, I think one of the things I found, possibly because this phrase was new to me, but one of the things I found a little confusing about the phrase capacity building, on a high level, it sort of implies ICANN, again, getting involved at an operational level to include improve the resilience of the DNS. I understand now when you look at this slide, it's very much about training and coordination of the developing regions, but it felt a little awkward, that phrase, to me when I read it first time through.
Is some of it terminology? So instead of capacity building, we're talking more about capability. maybe capability program is still too sensitive there, but I mean, this is one that where, you know, it's not, we've built the program with the regional TLD organizations and with the Network Startup Resource Center. It's not one that we're running all on our own. In fact, it would not happen without the active involvement of these groups. So perhaps we can define this better.
Sure, it might just be me. It might just be me and how I read it.
So for the next area that the SSR review team may look into, and Simon, I know you're on the review team, so
sure.
I'm hoping this is helpful, but these are some things that I thought of that go toward the maintaining clear processes. You know, for the first one, this is a technical evaluation panel that's for current GTLD registry operators, and it's whenever they want to make a change to a either a service or offer something new. So, for example, when a few years ago .travel wanted to ask for a wildcard service, they called it search.travel. They sent in their request through to the process for ICANN. We referred it to a panel of technical experts who provided a very detailed report 45 days later that with some, you know, very clear description of why this proposed service might create some significant risk to the DNS, and then the board used that as a, the basis for you know, not approving the service. Most of the, in almost all of the cases, the proposed registry services that have gone through have been approved, and that's included the, there was a very thorough report on the DNSSEC implementation in .org. So anyway, this is one where I list it because I think it is one where there are clear processes and they provide regular reports. Then the next goes into, there's the DNS stability panel for the IDN fast track and the process for looking at confusable and non-contentious strings. I know that there's still work, particularly with the CCNSO in the long term. PDP in a working group that was formed out of the San Francisco meeting, but I think this is one where there's at least a process, and you know, it's in place for a security and stability reason. And then the next three I thought fell under maintaining clear processes, although there's, you know, different shades of where they line up on the spectrum. And the next one, we tried to, you know, put some distinction into those emerging threats that are threats that are leveraging the system versus threats against the infrastructure itself. Hope this is, I mean, there is more detail in the full slide deck, and then also there's an accompanying narrative hybrid document that's at the end of the announcement, but this lists some of the threats that are leveraging the system, so botnets, configure, denial service attacks, and then threats against the infrastructure, such as registrar failure. We haven't had any significant long-term TLD failures, and there's quite a bit of, you know, distinction between where registry just has a short-term outage, and it's something that is reported and fixed versus a long-term registry failure, and that's I'm sure you're aware, you know, from the CC perspective, there was a really good discussion at the CC Tech Day about, and I think Simon, you even gave one of these presentations on things that the registry should do as best practices. So I know that doesn't quite fit under the registry failure, but it's one that. You know, we're interested in these types of emerging threats and also sure. Disasters that happen, you know, how registries respond to major things that occur. I know JPERS was going to provide some information in San Francisco, and I think it wasn't the right time on how they dealt with the earthquake and the tsunami and the damage over there, and maybe in the Singapore meeting, they'll have an update on what they went through and how they coped. So there's more on emerging issues. This sort of look more at government interventions, which could include things like the situation in Egypt and Libya from earlier this year, as well as things that are more long-term on how applications interface with the DNS. I think that's probably less of an ICANN area, but it's something that might be worth watching. And then increasing engagement with law enforcement and user communities on SSR issues. So there is work. I mentioned again the DSSA working group. We'll be looking at emerging threats, those gaps, and also the current efforts and activities that, and those might not, might very well be activities that are not done by ICANN but are done by others, and where those fit. And I think I'm really at the end. I provide some resourcing detail. This is, it's, I acknowledge, not the detail that was presented in the FY10 and FY11 plans. You know, partly that's due to the timing that the FY12 operating plan and budget is being finalized and hasn't yet been posted. But on the whole, we don't expect the SSR portion of the overall ICANN budget to change heading into this next budget and operating plan. So I'm going to stop there and would look forward to questions that you guys have.
Simon, Catherine, Paul, any questions for Patrick?
Certainly, Patrick, I've got one just as a general comment about the flow of the document. I think it would benefit really well, I think, from being really clear about that sort of flow in terms of stating, you know, possibly stating what the problem is, stating the mandate, then stating exactly how those initiatives then address the initiatives that ICANN's taking, putting into the plan, address those issues and address those mandate issues as well. And yep. I think on some of the previous calls we had, it felt like, I think partly, as you say, because you put it in PowerPoint format, it felt like a lot of bullet points together, and felt like it just needed sort of tidying into a bit more of a story, if that makes sense. I think it benefits from it being a quick read in this sense, but I just wonder if there's just something there that leads it clear into which section you're in the document you're in, and that this is definitely addressing an issue that was raised earlier, as if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I do think that the full deck does a better job of weaving in, you know, where you are in you know, what you're talking about than this condensed version. So if you haven't looked at the full deck,
I have looked at it, yep.
Think that, and that might still be not quite in-depth enough, but I think the full deck does a better job than this condensed version, but I take it that's something that we should try to fix.
Yeah, I was kind of referring to the full deck, really, just in the review of that, rather than this version, because I can see where these slides have come from. I think what a few folk felt was that there's a lot of information in here, and you've captured an awful lot of stuff in here, and perhaps, almost to a certain extent, really simplifying that story down so you can be really clear about which bits are addressing which issues in the mandate and which issues that are out there in the wider world might be quite useful, or just sort of maybe tying it up is the wrong word, but do you see what I mean? Perhaps telling a bit more of a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Paul, pardon me, I was desperately trying to make an attempt at multitasking there and failing. So the issue I wanted to raise was somewhat related to what Simon had said, and that was about the importance of contextualizing ICANN's work in the broader, it's continually referred to as an ecosystem. Has ICANN, and is it possible to display it, convey it through these presentations, through the longer document, the bigger slide deck, undertaken an environmental scan or an impact analysis of what the bigger picture looks like and where ICANN feels that it fits in that? You've certainly provided some detail on the particular activities, what departments, what areas they are within ICANN, and what it will be doing. But a little more of the bigger picture would be valuable, because that provides a greater degree of confidence for all stakeholders. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't recall off the top of my head how much of that was there in 2009 and 2010, but we have analysed the ecosystem. This is where we believe that there are gaps, and this is where we quite appropriately and with the appropriate capacity believe we can fill them. And that then leads to the detail of, well, this particular area or this department's working on this, or this supporting organisation's working on, et cetera. Again, that just leads to, that's my observation in terms of that you work the process all the way through, and that'll give everyone greater confidence and greater success of buy-in, I suspect.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Patrick, following on from what Paul was saying, something else that came up in some of the discussions were it might be useful if where you sort of state the difference between this is an environmental observation, you know, that threats are increasing, or that you know, a study shows, or whatever it is. Also, just to refer back to say, look, hey, this is a mandate. We're mandated in the AOC to have to do this. You know, regardless of whether we think there's a threat out there right now, it doesn't matter. The AOC says we will do the following things, X, Y, and Z. Might be really useful to remind folk what is mandated and what has been discovered, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, and you'll experience this as well, I think. There is a lot of vagueness to the language in the affirmation. So,
sure.
We need to sort of work collectively to put some context into that, too.
And sorry, Patrick, at the risk of sounding like the Simon and Paul onslaught, I just wanted to build on that again. And just to say, we all agree, we all acknowledge that the AOC is very general, very vague, but it is for better or for worse, the mandate. We're getting down to a lot of specific detail here. And again, it gets back to the point I made earlier about building that bridge, you're actually drawing that picture all the way through. This is what the AOC has told us to do. This is what we've observed from the environment. These are the priorities that we identify, and that's why we believe these areas. We're not just doing them because we always have or we believe they're important. These priorities are gaps that we've identified. It relates to the AOC. We're in a great position to do it, and this is why we're doing it. And, again, you tell that whole story, the full narrative, and I think everyone will be happy.
And this is really helpful, so, I appreciate that. And we want to find a way to get this cleared up so that it says that.
Yeah, I think it completely, Patrick, it came from some comments that people were saying, hey, I don't really see where the problem is. Don't see why there's a problem here. And I think that, and I'm sure you can imagine what some of those comments are from. And I think that perhaps when we sort of said, well, hang on, it's possible that actually that could just be as a direct result of the mandate of the AOC rather than there's an environmental problem out there that's being observed. And just that being able to clarify that might be helpful if that's possible. I'm not saying in every case it is.
Okay. Well, this has been good for me, and I'm hoping that you're seeing that there is an effort to make this document more accessible, less reaching, and we're getting there. So these comments are very useful, and take them on. I'm kind of at the end of the hour, and I know I need to jump on another call right after this. So if there's specific follow-up, or if you look at the full deck and you want to ask some more questions, feel free to just reach me directly, and I'll try to talk over that with you.
We'll do that, definitely.
Cool, yeah, thanks, Patrick.
And,
Patrick.
I'm pretty flexible time zone-wise, except for a few hours with kids. So, I'm more than able to accommodate, Australia, New Zealand time zones if there's questions, from you guys.
Beware from experience. That's an offer you might want to think about before you
I can manage it.
To be fair, Patrick, likewise to me, as well, in the other way around, if there's anything you can do, certainly from me and I'm sure the others, where we can help, then I'm sure I'd be more than happy to accommodate you the other way around if you wanted to run stuff past. That would be
yeah,
very happy.
I will definitely do that. Unless you guys have more questions, I'm going to end it here, and we'll commit to taking this on.
Happy with that. Thank you,
Patrick. And I need to be on the other call as well.
Yeah, and I'll be in Singapore. I get there. I'll be there in time for Friday before the stuff starts over the weekend. So if anyone's there early, and yeah. Anyway, looking forward to seeing everybody over there if you're going to be going to Singapore.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thanks all.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.